Hey, hello. How's it going? You're sick. Big special, can you believe it? Oh my gosh. I have to dress like this for the special. Because the show's sponsored by a paramilitary organisation. Don't want to say which one. they're not the good guys. And Saddam Hussein. it's true. Got an Uber today, got in the car. First thing the guy says to me is like, do you mind if I talk to a friend? And I'm a normal guy, right? So I said, of course. And thank you for considering me a friend. We had the best conversation. It was so good. He was speaking Urdu and I responded in English. It was a beautiful cultural exchange. He kept doing this. I'm like, that must be a cultural gesture. So I did this. thank you. But I'm good. I've been doing well. I've been cooking a lot. So good. I learned to cook online, right? But I think it's so special that recipes that used to be passed down from generation to generation. I think that's so special. So I got to tell my kids that my grandfather passed me down Jamie Oliver's superfood pasta. Tell them that Jamie Oliver's a province in China. We're from the Jamie people. I've been cooking, I've been eating at other people's houses, diversify the portfolio, you know. I was at a friend's house eating dinner and he cooked this lamb shoulder and it took him 2 days to cook this lamb shoulder and he was bragging about it. I didn't even know that was something you could brag about, like the amount of time it took you to prepare the meal. But I found it to be quite a good excuse to serve my guests leftovers. I'm like, this is a 24-hour stir fry. This pizza's been dry aged for 7 days. Good stuff. I love food. I am a foodie. Guilty. Love food. I love coffee as well. Big coffee head. A couple of fans of coffee. Nice. I love coffee, but I reckon coffee culture's gone nuts. You know what I mean? Like, it's gone too far. Because there's coffee places everywhere. Like, I saw a coffee place in a rock climbing gym. Oh, surely that's too far. Yeah. There's a coffee place at my local library. I saw a woman order a triple shot latte. I'm like, what book are you trying to read? Must be pretty tough. Anyway, I was getting a coffee from my mechanics, and mechanics are like the last profession that there's no regular retail price, right? They're like, there's no sign behind them telling you how much it's going to cost. You can't just Google how much a service is, right? It's just numbers swirling around in their mind. Only they know on any given day how much they're going to fleece you. I don't know if you can tell this just by looking at me, but I'm not a pushover. That's not a funny bit. Got a great deal out of this guy. 2 tyres, $7,000. So. He did upsell me, though. I reckon he upsold me. I don't think I needed the second tyre. I just went in for a latte. This mechanic, he kept saying the word roughly, right? He's like, it's roughly quite a big job. It's roughly going to take 1 to 2 days. Like, he kept saying the word roughly, and he got so in the habit of saying it that he started saying it when he was asking for my details. He was like, roughly, what's your phone number? I'm like, if you want a ballpark, it's about $500 million. Coffee's too strong. This stuff, it's too strong. I mean, I remember back in the day, coffee used to be nice. You could drink coffee in the morning and go to sleep the same night. Like, you could even drink it at night time. Like, you could whip up a blend 43, watch a couple of episodes, and then sink into the night, you know? Nowadays, I have a sip of coffee and I get anxiety and diarrhea. I see my barista and my guts flinch. Having a panic attack in the coffee store, I don't know. There's no drink that's as relaxing as coffee gets you G'd up. Someone's trying to tell me that it was chamomile tea, but chamomile tea sucks. Chamomile tea tastes like if water got wet. I don't know, maybe I'm being harsh. I like the scent of it. I've been using this new chamomile shampoo. Relaxing chamomile flavour. It's good stuff. I was using it for the first time. It's going so well. But then a bit of it got into my eye and it stung a lot, but I was calm throughout the whole thing. I don't understand it, because people ask me the meat for a coffee. They're like, let's go meat for a coffee. I don't understand that, because what I'm hearing is, let's go do a poo-poo. You know what I mean? It's a one-hour meeting. We've only got a half an hour of face-to-face time. We're both peeing in the toilets for 15 minutes each. All right, I don't know about that one. There's a big foodie during lockdown. Gained quite a bit of weight. At the end of lockdown, I had to go to the doctors for something else, hemorrhoids. But at the end of the meeting, he gave me quite a stern warning. He's like, I'm sorry, but you have to lose 5 kilos if you want to look hot. He said that, and I was trying to figure out how to lose the weight. I was like going on YouTube and there's all these different ideas about weight loss, and I couldn't like figure out what the correct one was because everyone's like arguing with everyone. And I found this one guy, he's called Carnivore MD, and his whole thing is a meat-only diet. But he reckons it's true because he's lived as a raw vegan for 8 years before that. So in his lifetime, he's had a balanced diet. But it's like, I don't know who to trust. I had to get a personal trainer, and this personal trainer was like, you gotta put down your body goals. You gotta dream big. He's like, think big. What are your body goals? And I was like, I would love to gain 2 foot. My dream to be 5'5". I'm good. I'm doing well. It's New Year, new me. It's Chinese New Year. You don't hear about a lot of Chinese New Year resolutions, hey? Like, I'm going to set off more firecrackers this year. As Chinese New Year just passed, Year of the Tiger. I like the zodiacs in the Chinese New Year. You know how they have all those different zodiacs? Anyone celebrate Chinese New Year? Oh, you do? Are you Chinese or other? Other. Welcome. I'm mucking about. I like the zodiacs, but I think some of them, they sound quite offensive in the Western context. Like, I remember when my dad was introducing, like, our family to other people, and he'd tell other people our zodiacs. It sounds so rude. He'd be like, my wife's a pig. My daughter's a dog. And my son's a rat. You know? Anyway, they're all born in the year of the horse. So. It was meant to be a good year, the year of the tiger. It was meant to be a hot one. It was not off to a good start for me. Off to a terrible start, actually. First day of the year of the tiger, I walked back into my house and I caught my housemate washing her dog with my shampoo. I couldn't believe it. It was this relaxing chamomile stuff. It was good stuff. It was expensive. Like, it's the best one at the 7-Eleven. And On the side of the label, it was like, vegan, organic, no animal testing. I had to call them up. I'm like, it's been tested. He really likes it, you know. He used so much of the shampoo, this guy, you know. I don't know if you know this, but dogs, they got a lot of hair. If you don't believe me, think about this. They got bodies. They don't use body wash. It's all shampoo, you know? You'd be wasting your time making a body wash for dogs. They only service this section. You know how they got that shaved bit? Some of you don't know about dog anatomy, but it's a crazy start to the year. It's not been all bad, though. Some good stuff happening. A lot happening in the world of television. There's constantly a show out. Always something to watch. I've been trying to work on segues. I think that's a good one. The world of television. There's a lot out there. Been watching so much. I've been watched all the mainstream stuff, right? That everyone's been watching. Finished all of that. Watched one called Drive to Survive. Not bad. Got to be in Melbourne during F1 weekend. Saw a few Grand Prix around. I actually got to go to one of the races. It was so good, but they confiscated all my banana peels. I don't know. I watched all the mainstream stuff. Squid Game. I was in that. played the little girl. Watched all the mainstream stuff, then I had to start watching the niche stuff because there's nothing else left. I had to watch the niche ones. I started watching one called Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. If you don't know what the premise of this show is, it's a crazy show. What they do is they pair up these old people, right? And these old people, they got depression. They've had depression their whole lives and nothing's been able to solve it. So in a last-ditch attempt, they pair them up with 4-year-olds in order to cure them. A lot of pressure on the 4-year-olds. I mean, these kids, they've lived 3 years of their life. On the fourth year, TV producers come up to them, said, do you want to be a psychologist? It's kind of crazy, but I was watching movies as well. Last movie I watched before the coronavirus... You guys know what I'm talking about. Coronavirus pandemic happened. The last film I watched was one called Uncut Gems. I saw that in the cinemas. Blew my mind, this film. This was amazing. High-octane Adam Sandler movie. I was taken aback by this movie. Beautiful stuff. As soon as the movie ended, I'm like, that's the best movie I've ever seen. I thought that. And then the credits started to roll and I was sitting next to an old lady and all she said was, it was a lot of yelling. And normally I wouldn't have said anything, like I let people have their opinions, but the movie, it affected me so much that I had to say something, you know. I turned to her, I was like, I wouldn't have had to if you give me some of your popcorn like I asked. It's me doing the yelling. But I watched that movie Little Women. Watched it on my iPhone. Get those women even littler. It's so small, couldn't believe it. I'm on the iPhone, I'm mucking about on there. I'm always trying to be ahead of the tech game. Do you know what I mean? You have to be one step ahead because you don't know what they're going to do to you. I'm trying to be ahead of big tech. I was like born into the computer era, you know. I thought I'd be always good with computers. Like I thought I could do computers forever. 5 years old, that's the first time I ever went on a computer and I was like, I'm good at this. Like I knew what to do on there. Like I knew which ads not to click on. Like which blokes not to talk to. I was safe on there. I had Norton antivirus running on full blast. I'm like, oh, I'll never get aged out of this. That was my thought. I'm 27 years old now. Like, I've already been aged out. Can't believe it. Nowadays, I log on to Google Chrome. It's saying I got 280 compromised passwords. I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, I'm not about to change 280 passwords. I'd rather just change my life. Like, I'll be someone else, I reckon. They reckon you got to have a unique password for every website. I'm like, I don't even remember my dad's birthday. And that's my password, like... I don't know. They don't honour passwords anymore, either. They don't respect passwords. I've started to notice that. It's kind of creeping into society, this disrespect for passwords. Because back in the day, you go onto a website, you type your password in, and they'd be like, yeah, we've heard that. Like, we honour that. Come on in, yeah. Explore the possibilities. They don't honour passwords anymore. You ever tried logging into your email from someone else's computer? You ever did that? They don't let you in anymore. They send you a text. You got to print that text out and get your dad to sign it. He takes it into the mayor, right? The mayor shows you 9 unique images. You got to tell him which one's got a street sign in it. I don't understand the logic behind this. Because you're telling me, like, a computer hacker, they've gone to school for 3 years, but they don't know what a street sign looks like. Blows my mind. At the bottom, like, the reason, it says, prove you're not a robot. And it's like, I don't know whether or not I am a robot. But I know for sure that you are a robot. You're a website. So what's it to you? What's this self-hating robot doing guarding this page? If anything, you should be letting me in. You should say, prove you are a robot. I don't know, it didn't affect me too much, this whole password thing, until I was living in this share house and it was in a reception dead zone. Like, you couldn't get any bars of reception in the house. And what that meant was I could log into the email, but I couldn't get the text. It's a nightmare. I have to walk out of my house to get reception. By the time I could get one bar of reception, it was already halfway down the street, almost at the post office. I'm like, I may as well send this email as a letter. I'm like, dear father, thank you so much for the video. I'm also suspicious of the vaccine. I mean, I want to get it taken out of me. I'm just kidding. I believe whatever you guys believe. That's good stuff. I don't know, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Normally comedians will wait for like a big laugh or applause break to drink water. But an opportunity has not yet presented itself. No, I'm doing good. A lot of snakes out there, they're trying to figure out how well I'm doing. Well, I'm doing good. Let's just say that this year I might be tuning in to the Emmy Awards. That's right, I bought a TV, so... Oh, not bad. No, I am doing good. I'm flying exit row now. Not bad. It's pretty good, exit row. Tell you that much for free, but... One thing they don't tell you about exit row, though, is at the start of your time in exit row, a woman comes up to you and she tells you that in the event of an emergency, the lives of every single passenger is your responsibility. And then she gives you a 2-minute speech about what you're supposed to do when this emergency happens. And she goes, are you willing and able to assist in the event of an emergency? And I was like, 2 minutes ago, I thought that was your job. Like, what are you doing during the emergency? Serving drinks? Because I might need a couple, I reckon. Then she starts asking people one by one, right? And everyone's lying to her face. I reckon they're lying because I don't know if I'm willing or able. Like, I don't have any airline.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Emergency training? I don't have any formal training, full stop. Like, the closest thing I got to a formal education is I've done 1.5 years of an arts degree. So I can tell you how evocative the flames are. But I can't tell you why they're evocative. Not up to that bit yet, you know? She's asking people one by one. The guy next to me, he for sure is lying to her. He's a 13-year-old boy. He's not even a smart 13-year-old boy. He's dumb. At one point in the flight, I hear him ask where the toilets are. Oh, the flight's linear. The toilets are at the front and the back of the plane. Like, you can't get lost on the plane. It's a tube. There's no hallways on the plane. Like, the plane is the hallway. His mom's getting angry at me for yelling at him, but her lives are in his hands. I can't believe it. I'm the last guy to get asked, and I'm looking at this row. I'm like, I'm the only guy here with integrity. I try to get out of it. I'm like, can I do a different job? Like, I could help with the bags or... But she was adamant it had to be the airline emergency, and she was losing patience with me because of the crying boy. My back was against the wall, both metaphorically and physically. All I could say was, yes, I am willing to risk the lives of every single passenger for more legroom. So that's what it's about, right? Legroom. I don't even need the legroom. Look at me. Probably the smallest guy on the flight. Yeah? On regular economy, my legs are dangling. I'm sweating for my... I can't even reach the seat pocket, you know? Sweating for my copy of 12 Rules for Life by Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. If only I could reach it, then I could become a man. I want to be like the lobster. I love this job. So good. What do you do for work? You hire out cameras. Oh, did you do these cameras? So you, did you get like a free ticket? Oh, no. Interesting. So, but even you as a guy who hires out cameras, you prefer seeing it live still. You know what I mean? So some might say you don't really believe in your job, but... Nah, thanks for coming. I believe in this. I love this work. I was talking to my sister about work, right? And she was telling me about her job. She works like 9 to 5, 5 days a week, support her family. It's beautiful. I'm tearing up thinking about it now. We were talking about her work for a bit. Then we started talking about my job, and... You've seen most of my work day, and by the time the show ends, you'd have seen all of it. you know what I mean, this is about halfway through, like, this is my 1 p.m. I'm choosing not to take a lunch break. I'll work through anything, yeah? I got COVID right now. But we were talking about our work, and, I think, like, she knew that this is what I do for work, but I think she, like, it's the first time she realised that this is all I do. It really sunk in for her. She was like, she had this realisation. She's like, hold on. People just come see you do your job in their spare time. And that really sunk in for her. She's like, I could watch you do your entire job in my spare time. And when she said that, like, that hit me. I was like, I could watch you do your job in my spare time. so much spare time. I don't know what to do with it, you know? And then she started calling me lazy. She's like, oh, your job's so lazy, it's stupid. I think that's unfair. Because Usain Bolt, he goes to work, he's clocking off in 10 seconds. You know? Saw that sign recently. It says, live, love, laugh. So good. I love that sign. I love it because laugh, that made it on. That's my job. That's a KPI I'm trying to hit, you know? But doesn't deserve to be on the sign, you know? Every day I thank God for alliteration. Because if it weren't for alliteration, laugh would not be on there. It's not the third best thing, you know? It's the third best thing starting with L. The first two things, they are the best things. Live. Everyone's doing that. If you're not doing it, then the sign's not for you, yeah? And then love, hello. You ever heard of that? Do you know that worldwide there are over 100 songs about love? And I'm actually being serious. I mean, if it weren't for alliteration, laugh would not be one of the three commandments of the beach house. Yeah? Shouldn't be on there. I love seeing that sign. Lights up my day. Puts a big smile on my face seeing that sign. I love the beach. I was at the beach one time with a friend, right? She introduced me to a couple of her friends who I'd never met before. And we all swam out into the middle of this body of water, like quite deep in. We were all treading water in a circle. You guys ever seen that? But I found myself exhausting at a much faster rate than everyone else. Found that at one point I was about 30 seconds away from drowning. But as this was happening, one of the girls I just met, she was telling me a story about her work. It's one of the most boring stories I've ever heard. But the problem with the story was that there were no gaps where I could explain my situation. Tell her that I was drowning a little bit. So eventually I just went under. Whole time I was under, I thought to myself, I can't believe that's the last story I'll ever hear. I'm at the beach, I'm trying to keep an active lifestyle, you know. Moving around, I'm walking quite a bit. Don't mind walking. So good. Perfect type of walk is a loop, right? Starts where it ends. I don't need to explain walks to you, but I mean, it's good. But around my house, 35 Ashfield, there's no loops, right? There's only a straight line. The problem with a straight line is that at one point you just got to decide to stop and turn around, which looks crazy. Because all a stranger is seeing is a guy going like, I can't be doing that in my neighbourhood. Like, I can't look crazy because I'm regular, you know. And so I had to, like, figure out a way for this to look normal. I spent the day brainstorming. Came up with this. I get to the spot. And I take out my phone. Open up Google Maps. I go, oh. And that works perfect, right? Because all the stranger is seeing is like, this is just a regular guy going on a normal walk and he can't find his friend's house every day. I mean, I was talking about the loop earlier. You guys remember that? Saying it's a perfect walk, but I was embellishing. Because a loop, it does have its own problems. The closest loop to me is called the Bay Run. A couple of fans. The Bay Run, I can't walk there because it's too far, so I have to drive to the walk, which I find interesting because you're taking a superior mode of transport to a lesser form of transport. Sometimes I'm wondering when I'm getting out of the car if the car's thinking, okay, if you want. The Bay Run, this loop, it's too long for me. I go halfway and I turn around, but... just a gag. But the problem with a loop is this, is that, like, people are walking at different speeds throughout the loop. And there's an unspoken rule that if someone's trying to overtake you, you got to slow down and let them. But some people don't know this. I found myself walking alongside a woman for about 3 minutes. At one point, I had to turn to her. I was like, what are we? De facto? I don't even know what de facto is. I think de facto is that your boyfriend doesn't want to marry you. Sorry, babe. That's good. I had to go on realestate.com. Had to move houses. Been telling too many people my address. Now I've moved to an apartment. Five Campsie, New South Wales. I love saying my address on stage. It's good fun. My family warned me. They're like, don't say your address on stage. Don't do it. But my justification is that, like, I say it so quickly that, like, you wouldn't be able to remember what my address is. And if you really wanted to know what it was, you'd have to come back to watch the show again. And at that point, who's robbing who? You know? Moved houses, this new apartment. I'm living alone for the first time, and a lot of my friends, they warn me, they're like, you're going to slip into bad habits. There's no accountability. You're going to slip into bad habits. And I already feel it, you know? Like, I'm doing my poo-poos with the door open, which is grubby stuff. I can acknowledge that. But to be fair, it is more convenient because it means that I don't have to fumble for my keys when I go back inside. I'm doing them in the stairwell. I think Strata cleans it up. I'm not sure. It's not there in the morning. But a lot of you probably out there, you're thinking, Aaron, you've moved houses, but are you still walking? It's a beautiful question. I am. I love walking. I walk anywhere. Everywhere I go, I'm walking. I'm serious. My favourite walk of all time is in the Adelaide Botanic Gardens. So beautiful. It's a stunning place. Took so many plants home. This is a beautiful walk. The time I did it, I got there at the crack of dawn, 10:30 a.m. and real early in the morning, right, bright and shine. And got there 10:30. I saw there was a sign. It said, guided walks, 10:30 a.m. That's the time I was there. And there was a woman standing next to the sign and she was trying to get me to come on the walk. She's like, come along. And I said, no, thank you. Because I don't need any help. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything. I just think that it is an easy thing to do. Because a universal benchmark for something not being hard is a walk in the park. I'm out there, That's the travelling I was doing for the last few years, just walking. Well, I did a bit of travel right before the pandemic. I did worldwide trip. You remember that? Worldwide trips? Not bad. I was in China right before it happened. I didn't do it. I was in China. I was mucking about there, and then I got a... quite a cheap flight to Italy. no correlation. I was in Italy. Some of you probably thinking, imagine this guy in Italy. Like, what would he get up to? This next story might be for you then. I was in quite a small town in Italy called Spelunga. Right? It was so small that there was only like one cab driver operating in the whole area. And I had to get into the train station there from Rome, like it's a little train trip, and then into the station and to meet the cab driver. I was meant to get in at 11 p.m. That's what time I was meant to get to the station. But due to the Italian administration system and general work ethic, I didn't get in until 12 a.m. I see the taxi driver, and he's an old guy, right? 11 p.m, already past his bedtime. 12 a.m, he's livid, right? He's pissed off. I see him and I try to ease the situation, because normally I'm pretty good at complex social dynamics. But my regular arsenal's out the window, because he can't speak English and I can't speak Italian. So it's an away game, right? But even still, like, I try to get him back on board. I put my bags in his car and get into the passenger seat. Limited Italian, I know. I try small talk on him. But every bit of small talk I do, like, he gets even angrier and even angrier. And we've been through all the pastas. And after carbonara, there's a long silence. Huh? I'm freaking out because I don't know where he's taking me. We haven't agreed on the price for the trip. Do you know how scary that is? He's speeding down highways. He's like swerving all about. My life is in his hands. And in this moment of panic, I notice on the stereo it says the letters CD, which is universal for compact disc. It means this is this guy's music, right? He liked it enough to buy a copy of it. So with that in mind, I took my phone out secretly. I opened up an app called Shazam. It tells you what song's playing, right? Shazam it. It's an Italian pop singer called Franco Battiato. Keep that in my mind. I put my phone away. Don't want him to think that the phone has anything to do with what's about to happen next. I'm sitting in my seat, ging myself up for the biggest gambit of my lifetime. Eventually, sitting there in silence for a little bit, eventually I pluck up the courage. And I turn to him. Point at the stereo and I'm like, Franco Battiato? He don't say anything. He's silent. He's silent for like 5.5 seconds. Longest 5.5 seconds of my life. Felt like 6 seconds. But eventually he goes, Franco Battiato. Si. Bravo. I was like, bravo? Spoke English all along. Felt so good. Got him back on board, you know what I mean? I had to go celebrate. So the next day, I went to this little restaurant, right? Specialised in only one thing. It's like been there for years and years and they only did one thing and they were the best in the world at it. It's like this deep fried rice ball. Got to the front of the line. They said, Arancini? I said, no, Arancin. That's the end of the show. Thank you very much.